Welcome back to the Killer Minute Podcast, brought to you always by Killer Frogs. I'm Davis Wilson, the host of this podcast, and it's been a few weeks since we've done one. We've taken a bit of a break. A lot has happened since our last one. Some basketball, some women's basketball, some football, some baseball, all sorts of stuff's going on right now with TCU Athletics, and we will get into all of that next on the Killer Minute. Okay. I say we start with some basketball, and I think the last episode we did was maybe right before the second round of the NCAA tournament where TCU played Gonzaga, so I'm not sure. Maybe we recap that. I don't remember, but as we all know, TCU lost to Gonzaga 81-84 in the round of 32 of the NCAA tournament. Close game. Pretty fun game. Drew Timmy and Mike Miles, two stars battling it out was fun. But since then, a lot has happened for TCU's basketball team. A lot of roster changes, and in this era of college basketball and college sports, that's not uncommon. So we're going to go through. I think we'll go through a lot of these. Potential roster changes, starting with the team's losses. The biggest loss for this team, obviously, is going to be Mike Miles. He officially declared for the draft 2 weeks ago, I want to say, about 2 weeks ago. His career will be done with TCU. He helped guide TCU to two straight NCAA tournament appearances, which has not happened in a really long time. So, definitely a legend in that regard. Definitely a TCU basketball legend. All the other losses as of now are transfers. And the biggest one of those being Eddie Lampkin. Big man Eddie Lampkin left the team in early March, citing a perhaps rocky relationship with Jamie Dixon. I'm not sure really how to put that, but that's what I'm going to say now. He entered the transfer portal, got a lot of interest, ended up committing to Colorado, who that program will have a pretty good team, and his addition will be big for them. PJ Haggerty, another guy that entered the portal. This one, personally, was a bit of a surprise. He was the only high school commit that TCU landed in 2022. He redshirted this year, got some time here and there, but obviously with Mike Miles and Damian Baugh and Shahade Wells, there was not a ton of guard minutes to be had. So I guess he decided that maybe the same next year and opted to transfer. Speaking of Shahade Wells, he also entered the portal. He is going to get some pretty good interest. I don't believe he's cut his list yet. But let me see. According to the portal report on Twitter, he has heard from schools like Oklahoma State, Clemson, SMU, UTEP, UTSA, Oral Roberts, a bunch more, but those were kind of the big ones I picked out. Clemson, he's heard from, so that's a guy. I think he has 1 year of eligibility left, but a guy who can go in and help a program at the point guard position immediately. And then Suleiman Dumbuya, the last TCU transfer for now, could be more. He entered the transfer portal as well. So that's four guys in the portal right now. The big ones, I mean, all these guys contributed a little bit. But Mike Miles, obviously the biggest loss, and, we'll see, Eddie Lampkin, really not that surprising considering how the season ended, but both those guys were, I mean, a year ago, like the future of this program and had a lot of people talking about TCU basketball. So definitely a little weird to see both of them gone. Let's see what else we have. Potential losses. These are guys that could leave but could stay. The first one being Emmanuel Miller. Emmanuel Miller is a senior. He declared for the draft, but will be maintaining his college eligibility. So that means if he, you know, he goes through the draft process, sees what he, what his projections are, sees what scouts and NBA people think, and if he decides it's best for him to come back for another year, he'll do that. But right now, we have not heard. All we know is that he is going through the draft process. Damian Ba, another senior who does still have eligibility. Last year, he went into the draft process and hired an agent and got, and he decided to come back. That's why he was suspended at the beginning of the year. He has not made any of that clear so far this year. He has not announced whether he'll be entering the draft or not. But that is something to look for. And then Chuck O'Bannon, another senior, somehow, don't ask me how, but he still has eligibility. I would expect him back. Unless he's just ready to move on from basketball. I don't think there's a spot for him in drafts right now, but who knows? I'm not an expert. Additions. Let's talk about some additions. These are cool. These are going to keep coming. This will be something that gets updated throughout the offseason. But right now, we have Jace Posey, who's a high school recruit from Houston, Texas, a four-star small forward. 247 Sports has him as the 81st best player in the whole country. That's a guy who could be somewhat of a contributor next year. And then the only other high school commit we TCU has right now is Isaiah Manning from Mansfield, Texas, a three-star recruit, 208th in the country. He's listed as a power forward, listed at 6'7" and 220. And then lastly, the only addition we know of for sure right now, and this is a really big one, is Jameer Nelson Jr., a transfer from Delaware. And if that name sounds familiar, it's probably because it is pretty familiar in the basketball landscape. His dad, Jameer Nelson, played in the NBA for a long time. I believe appeared in an all-star game one year. So basketball is in the blood. But Jameer Nelson Jr. Started his career at George Mason, played there for two seasons, transferred to Delaware, where he has kind of taken off in the last couple of years. Last year, Delaware only went 17-16, but he had a career year, 20 points per game, 50% shooting, 52% shooting actually, and 3.5 assists per game. Also averaged 2.5 steals. Let me see. So he's easily one of the top players that enter the transfer portal this cycle. On 3.com ranked him as the fourth best overall. 247 Sports also has him as the fourth best transfer overall. That is as of April 1st when he committed. I don't know what the rankings are now, but at that time, he was the fourth best player in the transfer portal. So this is a guy I kind of see as the Mike Miles, not really replacement, but a guy who can help with figuring out how to continue on without Mike. He's a true scorer, a combo guard. His game is pretty similar to Miles's. He's, a good shooter, can get to the rim, and will probably help TCU a lot. I mean, not probably, definitely will help TCU quite a bit, and just bridging the gap between Miles and the future. So really, really huge get for Jamie Dixon there. One that will probably keep TCU pretty relevant in college basketball next year. Here are some guys that have been linked to TCU, some guys in the transfer portal who TCU's contacted. Like, there are a ton of these guys who TCU's contacted, but I've just chosen a couple who I think are pretty realistic gets for TCU. First one being Trey Tennyson, from Texas A&M Corpus Christi. He averaged 15.7 points per game last season and shot 40% from three. This guy is, I mean, I don't know what year he is, to be honest, but he released his top three, and TCU made the top three with along with BYU and Western Kentucky. Let me see. Okay, 6'4". He was Southland All Conference second team last year. I think people. I'm reading this BYU blog post about Trey Tennyson's top three. They're saying, who knows what they know, but they are saying that TCU may be the favorite because he is from Arlington and just was actually just on a visit to TCU recently. So I think it is favorable that he is from Arlington, but we will keep an eye on that one. Another guy who I think is pretty realistic is Avery Anderson. Avery Anderson has been at Oklahoma State for years now. Let's see. He's from Justin, Texas, and out of high school, he was in the 2019 draft high school class. TCU made his final five out of high school, so there's a prior relationship there with Anderson and Dixon. I kind of think that this is pretty realistic, and I would keep an eye on this one based on some things I've heard. Another guy, moving on, Assam Mostafa. This is a 6'9 big man from Coastal Carolina. He visited TCU last weekend. Let me look at his stats. Last year, let's see. Last year, he scored 12.5 points per game. Grabbed 10 rebounds a game, almost a block a game, and just a big guy, especially with Lampkin on the way out, with Dumboyo on the way out. You need a big guy who can rebound. This guy is that guy. He's from Egypt. He's from Cairo, Egypt, which is pretty cool, I think. So that he, as I just said, he just visited TCU this last weekend. So that's another one to keep your eye on. And then lastly, the one I have here is Primo Spears from Georgetown. Averaged 16 points per game, 5.5 assists per game last year. TCU is in his final four along with Arkansas, Kansas, and Florida State. So pretty stacked final four, but TCU did do an in-home visit with Spears recently. So again, these are all guys I think do have legitimate shots at ending up at TCU. And then your guys, lastly, that are probably returning for the Frogs are Micah Peavy. Haven't seen anything about him leaving. Jacoby Coles, Rondell Walker, Xavier Cork. Those are the guys I think will probably be back. And then I would even throw in, I'm pretty sure Emmanuel Miller and Damian Baugh will probably both be back, but that is not a guarantee. Just something to keep your eye on. That is kind of the quick version of an update on men's basketball since their loss to Gonzaga. And transfer portal season has kind of made it where there's no real off season in basketball. There's so much going on in college basketball. So there will be a ton of updates, likely a couple more transfers. There's at least a chance one or two guys transfer out. It's very fluid these days. So just, I think the roster construction will be something to continue to keep an eye on for next year's team. A big update. I guess we have two big updates for the women's basketball team. Last season, they were the last place team in the Big 12, one of the worst teams in the country. They fire their coach. They hire Mark Campbell, who's been around coaching for a long time, but most recently last year, his first year as a head coach, he was with Sacramento State. and they went 25-8, made the NCAA tournament, won their conference. Just a really good year. I don't know much about him, but based on what I've read, based on the recruiting he's already done, which we'll get to in 1 second, I think this is a pretty good hire. Pretty good hire for the women's basketball program that needed something. They needed some sort of boost, I guess. One thing I didn't mention about the women's basketball team, I don't think we've done a podcast since, well, we probably have, but I'll say it again. Women's basketball, worst team in the Big 12. They won a tournament game and then lost to Oklahoma by one in round two. So a pretty good showing by them there at the end of the year. Okay, so the big update on women's basketball is Mark Campbell, just a couple weeks into his job here at TCU, has landed one of the best players in the country, Sedona Prince from Oregon. Sedona entered the draft, but withdrew and has now transferred to TCU to be with Mark Campbell. Mark Campbell was an assistant coach when their time there overlapped. He was an assistant coach, I think, 2 years there before taking a job at Sacramento State. So a huge get, like a really big get. She's not only is she a good player, but she is also pretty big on TikTok, on social media. She went viral in 2021 for taking videos and posting them of the men's facilities versus women's facilities at the NCAA tournaments. So if you remember anything like that, that was her. Let's see her. She's a 6'7 forward originally from Liberty Hill, Texas. She committed to Texas out of high school, sustained a leg injury there, I believe, and transferred to Oregon, where she spent the last couple seasons. In 2020-2021, she averaged 10 points per game, 4 rebounds, a block and a half. Last year, 9 points a game, 5 rebounds, a block and a half as well. Again, she's 6'7". Let's see, TCU. Pardon me, 1 second. Last year's roster for TCU. Let's see. Okay, I'm looking at last year's roster for TCU. They did not have anyone taller than 6. Well, they had, okay, Patricia Morris was 6'7", but that's the only person they had taller than 6'3". Sedona will come in, immediately be 6'7", and really she's one of the best, I guess, best and most well-known players in the country. And I think at a time where women's college basketball has never really been bigger. I'm sure everybody has heard about and watched the women's Final Four. Names like Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese have made this sport, has given this sport more momentum than it's had in a long time. And I think TCU capitalizing on one of the best players in the country, one of the most well-known players in the country, is huge for them and will most definitely get this program at least moving in the correct direction. So a lot to be excited about, both sides of TCU basketball, both women's and men's. That's all pretty exciting. Okay, now moving on. We're done with basketball. I wanted to talk a little bit about some football notes. I went to TCU's Pro Day, I guess it was about a week and a half ago now, in Fort Worth. All 32 teams had representatives there to watch TCU's players. Guys like, Duggan, Max Duggan, Quentin Johnston, Mara DiMercato, D. Winters, Trey Hodges Tomlinson, Tay Barber, Gunnar Henderson, Steve Avila, Dylan Horton, probably missing some, Darius Davis, probably missing some. They all worked out, or I'm definitely missing some, but they all worked out at Pro Day. Kendre Miller was there. He was present. He did not work out at all. He's still kind of recovering from his injury, making sure he's ready to go. But some guys that I saw that I recognized from the NFL, Bill Belichick was there. Patriots legendary head coach was there. He talked to Quentin Johnston a lot. He talked to Kendre Miller a lot. I noticed him being pretty interested in Quentin Johnston's 40 time, which was, if I'm correct, he ran a 40 in the high 4.4s, which is exactly what he wanted to do. And Belichick was very interested in those times whenever they came back. He also met with Belichick. I mean, also met with Emmanuel Miller for a couple minutes. They talked for a while. Brian Daboll, the 2022 NFL Coach of the Year, he was there. He was talking a lot to Kendre Miller as well. Also talked to Quentin Johnston, I believe. And then John Fassel, the Cowboys special teams coordinator, was there. I know him just because I'm a Cowboys guy, recognized him. He was kind of watching everyone, watching Duggan a lot, watching. He was watching Darius Davis quite a bit on the punt returns. And then Nick Cassiero, the Texans general manager, was there. And they've got 10th pick, 11th pick, something. I think they have the 10th pick. So they kind of have their pick of who they were watching. I didn't see him meeting with anyone, but I there's no doubt that he was there. A bunch of guys, Steve Avila had a pretty good combine, but guys who really juiced their stock. I thought Amari DiMercato really had a good combine. Gunnar Henderson went down with an injury while he was running his 40. So TCU needed another guy to be a receiver for Duggan in the throwing session. And DiMercato was able to do that and displayed his abilities as a receiver and a route runner. I thought he looked really good. Tay Barber, another guy who looked good. And Darius Davis, all those guys, I think kind of may have upped their stock. Max Duggan only did the throwing session. He didn't run a 40. He didn't do the vertical jump. None of that stuff. He just did the throwing. And his deep balls, I will say, looked really good. That was definitely the strongest part of his day. He struggled a bit on the quick out routes. But everything else, it looked like he was throwing the ball well. Quentin Johnston, another good, he had a good day, ran a 4.49 is what I want to say. His 40 time was, had a couple deep drops in Duggan's throwing sessions, but did make some good grabs and responded really well to those mistakes. D Winners, I thought, had a really good pro day. That's a guy I think can be drafted as kind of like a special teams guy, maybe work his way up, but definitely a guy I could see finding an NFL team pretty soon. So that's all from Pro Day. Pretty fun to be there. Really cool experience. Got to watch all these guys perform for all 32 NFL teams, which was really cool. Moving on now to recruiting, one big recruiting note, TCU has finally landed its first 2024 commit, Haas Haney from Aledo, Texas, quarterback. Per 247 Sports composite rankings, he's the 765th best player in the country, 43rd best quarterback in the country, and 114th best player in Texas. He was previously committed to Duke, is now committed to TCU. Per Max Preps, let's see here. Excuse me. Okay. For Max Preps, he's thrown for 2,094 yards. He threw for 2,094 yards last year, 20 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. And let's see here. I'm going to read Dave Campbell's Texas Football's Greg Powers wrote a article on him and did a scout's take. I'm just going to read that to give listeners an idea about who Haney is as a quarterback. All right, Power says, Haney is an athletic quarterback who will be a fan favorite at TCU. He is a good fit for the Kendall Briles offensive scheme. He is a dual threat quarterback who will make plays both through the air and on the ground and has been a proven winner versus elite competition. He poses a significant challenge to opposing defenses due to his versatility and athleticism. Haney remains focused downfield under duress, adapting quickly with strong footwork. He can make backbreaking gains on the ground and has a proven track record of success against high-level competition. Defenses must account for his field-stretching arm as he can easily drop deep-range passes. Haney's versatility will keep defensive coaches on their toes. So that is what you need to know about Haney. I have never watched Haney play. I've heard good things about people who from people who have watched him play. Another important note, Haney is a TCU legacy. His father, Jesse Haney, played football at TCU, and his mother, Jemaine Haney, was a basketball and track player at TCU. So a TCU guy committing to TCU is always cool. He's a winner. It sounds like he can throw, he can run, all the good things that you like to see. That's all for football. And lastly, we have baseball. Baseball is the big sport in season right now. After getting off to a pretty good start, I guess things kind of slowed down and are now maybe picking back up. But let's see. TCU currently is 20-12. They just recently returned to the top 25. They're ranked 25th in the country right now. And they're coming off a really good series win over Oklahoma State, one of the best teams in the Big 12. They won the series 2-1 and scored a lot of runs in that. I just wanted to run through some statistics to give everybody an idea who's performing the best for the Frogs. The highest average as of right now is Anthony Silva. He is batting .367 right now. Let's see, RBIs. Who's leading RBIs? Cole Fontenelle, 29 RBIs, leads the team. Austin Davis is right behind him with 28, and Anthony Silva is behind him with 26. Home runs, Braden Taylor, not surprising at all, leading the team with 10 home runs. What else can we do here? Hits. Who's leading in hits? Trey Richardson, the transfer from Baylor, leads the team with 40 hits. Cole Fontenelle behind him with 37, and Braden Taylor behind him with 35. Doubles, Cole Fontenelle leads that. Braden Taylor leads the team in walks. Actually, he's tied with Luke Boyers. Both of them have 25 walks this year. So those are kind of the batting statistics. Let's look at some of the pitching stuff. Win-loss. Cole Klecker has the best win-loss record. He is 6-2. Ryan Vanderhei is 3-2. Braden Sloan is 2-2. Let's see. Earned runs. Well, okay. Let's do strikeouts. Cam Brown leading the team in strikeouts, 39. Ryan Vanderhill behind him with 37. Those are kind of the big ones for pitching. Ryan Vanderhill has given up the most earned runs with 22. Cam Brown behind him with 18. Really, the defense has been the problem for TCU. They're scoring runs. They're scoring a ton of runs. but their defense has at times been unable to keep the runs off the board. For example, one of the games I think of was the Texas Tech game. The opener of that series, which I guess was not last Friday, but the Friday before, TCU went up 8-0 in the second inning and ended up losing the game 20-16. So it's definitely not an offensive issue for the Frogs right now. It's definitely a pitching issue. And I think that, you know, if that gets figured out, this team's going to rattle off a couple wins. They will take a look at the schedule upcoming. They have Abilene Christian this coming Tuesday, April 11th. And then this weekend series against UMC Wilmington. The remaining Big 12 series, West Virginia in Morgantown, April 21st to 23rd. West Virginia having a really good season. They have Texas, the 28th through the 30th in Fort Worth. And then they have Baylor in Fort Worth, May 12th to the 14th. And then lastly, their last... their last Big 12 series of the season is against Kansas State in Manhattan. So I want to see, I'm trying to find, here we go. I'm trying to find the, I would love to know how Kansas State's doing. They're 20-14. Okay. So they're a good team. They, lost the series to Baylor. They swept Oklahoma, lost the series to West Virginia, lost the series to Texas. So, all right, that's good to know. Anyway, that's kind of the rundown I have on baseball. Still on pace to contend to the Big 12. Big 12. One moment. Big 12 baseball standings. Let's see what's going on. Texas is in first place in the Big 12 with a 6-3 Big 12 record, 23-10 overall. TCU is second at 7-5 after their series win over Oklahoma State. They hold the tiebreaker in that because Oklahoma State also at 7-5. I kind of see those three teams as the favorites to win this conference. West Virginia is 23-9 on the year, 3-3 in the Big 12. That's a good team. Another one, Texas Tech, 22-10, 4-5 in the Big 12. So those are the teams I'd watch out for personally. But yeah, TCU has series coming up against, as I said, West Virginia. Texas is going to be a huge series to decide who will lead the Big 12. Because right now that those teams are 1-2 in the Big 12 rankings. So that's kind of the rundown I have on not only baseball, but that was a lot of TCU stuff overall. Hopefully I got to everything. It's been a while. We're going to start coming back doing weekly episodes so I don't have to run through all this every couple weeks. I can kind of stay on top of it. I want to look at doing some sort of draft, TCU draft prospects, previews, and scouting reports, something like that, to get ready for the draft maybe next week. So be on the lookout for that. But yeah, that's about all I have. Thank you for listening. Thanks for coming back. Sorry, I was a bit of a longer hiatus than I expected, but we are back now and we're going to go back to weekly episodes, which should be fun. Anyway, thanks for listening. Thanks for always listening. I appreciate everybody who supports and all that good stuff. And I guess be sure to join me next time for next week's Killer Frogs.